up this morning from a nightmare, and I had this dream last night that I woke up and I got over to church and I got really busy and people were asking me to do stuff and I was doing everything, and I didn't realize until I was like, oh no, I'm about to miss first service. So I run in there and all of a sudden I don't have any pants on. I'm like, what in the world? I get up on stage and I realize that there's only like 3 people in here, and somehow my dad's here, and I'm like, Dad, I only shared the first part with first service, but I'm like, Dad, like, what happened? Like, who preached? And my dad's like, I did. I winged it. It's okay. And my dad's upset at me. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I got second service. And then I preached second service like I am here right now. And I was like, Dad, do you think they liked it? He's like, someone came up to me and said they hated it. So let's pray. Dear God, would you please speak through me? Would your spirit come here today? And on their behalf, God, would you speak? Would you open hearts? Would you open eyes? Would you open ears to hear and see, God? Thank you for this opportunity to come to know you better. In your name we pray, amen. So this past week, I visited my parents in Marion, Illinois, to see the well-known solar eclipse. And here's a little chart for you of kind of where it went through. My parents lived just below St. Louis, that red line there. And the black shadow is where the complete solar eclipse happened. And my girlfriend took a picture of it at 1:23. It was dark out. It was completely dark out. 1:23 p.m., all right? It looked like the sun had gone down. If you looked at the sun, there were stars all around it. Absolutely beautiful. It was 100%. I'm not sure if you guys got it here, but it was absolutely incredible. And just a few seconds later, at 1:24 p.m., it was daylight again. Absolutely incredible. And that moment, that hearing the cheers across Southern Illinois and from our farm especially, the praises to God, it woke something in me, and I was just like, wow, we serve a big God. And we're here today to bring praises to a big God, a God that is so big that we literally cannot understand it. My hope today is that somehow, some way, your view of God is expanded today. That your confidence in Him will grow as you continue on to this life, that He's got you. He's bigger than everything we face in life. So today, we're going to attempt to put into perspective how big our God really is. We're going to be in the Bible today. If you are new to the faith or new to church or anything like that, in the early pages of the Bible, there's a book of contents. You can find where we're going to be at. We're going to start in Genesis 1:1. Excuse me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. In Psalm 33, verse 6, the Lord merely spoke. All He did was say the words. Let there be light. And the heavens were created. He breathed the word and the stars were born. Another translation basically says that the stars came from His mouth. God didn't even lift a finger and the stars were created. Are you guys kidding me? God is so big. He spoke and galaxies were given shape. We have to realize, and hopefully by the end of the day, you begin to realize how big that is, how grand that is. See, we've got one of those stars here real close by, and it's called the sun. And man, the sun to me, it's absolutely incredible. Its size, its distance from the earth, its light, its warmth that it gives the earth is absolutely incredible. It's perfect, and without it, we wouldn't be able to live here on earth, all right? It's just proven. Without the sun, we couldn't live here. And how many of us today woke up and thank God for the rising of the sun? No, I don't think most of us have. One of the amazing things about the sun is it produces a thing called light. Now, obviously, you guys know that, but hopefully today, after I did a lot of research and studying and searched, you can Google anything on here that I'm about to share with you today, and it's backed up. It's scholarly proven, all right? Light travels at an amazing 186,000 miles per second. So if you had superpowers, all right, if you had this awesome superpower to travel up the speed of light, you could travel around the earth 7.5 times in just 1 second. Our airports have some catching up to do, all right? The universe is so large that we've developed what is called a light year. Now, a light year is 5.88 trillion miles long. The number is hard to take in. The universe that God has created, the inch and the mile, they're not even big enough to begin to understand his creation. So I'm a very adventurous person. I love the outdoors. I love doing anything outdoors, all right? So Josh and I, my friend from college, Josh, it was about a year or so ago. It was before I was starting here. And Josh was getting married, and Josh was like, yeah, I'm not going to have a life after this. And we're just joking, but we're like, let's go do something fun, you know? Before we get tied down in responsibilities, let's go have one more trip together. And so we did. We went out, and we climbed to the highest point in Tennessee in the Smoky Mountains. And that night, as we kind of reached the top of the mountain, there were several people out there, and one was a photographer named Bob. And Bob was like, you guys seem pretty cool. And tonight, there's the Milky Way. It's going to be visible to the naked eye. It's going to be absolutely incredible. You guys need to see it. And this whole way up the mountain, Josh and I are like, man, God is so big. Look at these mountains. And so we got up there, and we, you know, got up there just when it was peak time, and we looked up, and we're like, it's pretty cool. And it didn't captivate us. And that's oftentimes we look up at the stars or even at the sun, and it doesn't captivate us. And we didn't realize that day how big our God was. Here's a picture of the Milky Way for you. Just this vast, vast space of stars and planets. It's absolutely amazing. The Milky Way is about 100,000 light years across. So take 100,000 times 5.88 trillion miles, and that's how far it would take you to get from one end to the other. It takes about 37,000 years to travel one light year at about 18,000 miles per hour. We've got a shuttle up in orbit right now that's going about 18,000 miles per hour orbiting the Earth. It would take you 37,000 years just to travel one of those light years. That means it would take you 3.7 billion years to travel the Milky Way alone. Incredible. See, the Milky Way has known over about 100 billion stars in this galaxy. Our sun is just one of them. The Milky Way is also one of billions of galaxies our God has made. See, our God is big. He's bigger than anything we could ever see or imagine. In Psalm 19, 1 through 4, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun." Our God is big. Now let's take a look at our sun here. It's pretty intense, man. Look at that. That's so cool. It's absolutely intense. Just even around the sun, it just radiates light. It's something that is 93 million miles away, and I don't want to get 1 mile closer to it, all right? It's absolutely breathtaking, and God merely spoke, and it was created. Now, I want to put into perspective how big this sun is, okay? So I got here a golf ball, all right? And let's imagine that this golf ball was the earth, and so I want everyone to look here, and I want you to find yourself, okay? See yourself? Gotcha? All right. So if the earth was a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. So, yes, I did go out and buy my first measuring tape. Thank you very much. I feel like an adult now. Oh, goodness. 13, 14... And I totally messed up the first service, but I'm not going to tell them. So 15 feet in diameter. Again, this is a circle, so you got to go the whole way up and around. I tried going up earlier this week. It didn't work. So 15 feet in diameter. Here's a golf ball. That's how big our sun is. absolutely incredible, and God breathed this to life. If the earth was a golf ball compared to the sun, it would take 1.3 million earths to fill our sun. Guys, man, we serve a massive God. Now, I want to introduce you to some other stars, and some of you in here might have a better pronunciation. I've heard it pronounced. Good job. Pronounced several different ways, and the first or second star would be Betelgeuse, and here it is. You can find it in the constellation Orion. It's right up there. It can be seen by the average eye. It's great. Now, Betelgeuse is twice the size. Twice the size. If you thought I was going to say the size of the sun, no, it's twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. If Earth was a golf ball, you could place it at the base of the Empire State Building. Let's take a look at this. The Empire State Building. If you took the golf ball, you go up there, you place it at the base of the Empire State Building, you back up. And then you have to add five more Empire State Buildings on top of that. We went from 15 feet, our sun, our massive sun, to 9,000 feet in diameter compared to the golf ball. That's 262 trillion Earths inside Betelgeuse. And don't forget, you're on that Earth, and God breathed that star. Now let's go to this next star. It's one of my favorite stars that I researched, and it's Musifi. Now some of you in the back are like, Mufasa? Lion King? You got really excited there. No, I'm sorry, it's Musifi. Musifi. Now let's take a picture of it. Let's look at this picture. It's up here in the top left corner. It's bright. It's massive. It outshines all the others. If the Earth was a golf ball, 2.7 quadrillion Earths could fit in Musifi, and our God breathed that. Now, that's hard to comprehend. I had a hard time taking this in, and Louis Giglio, author and speaker, he puts it this way in using time. A million seconds ago, can anybody guess for me? A million seconds ago, how long that would be? Say a number, say a day. Say an hour. 20 years. It's actually a million seconds would be 12 days ago. Close. I like it though. A billion, so we go million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. A billion seconds ago would be the 1980s. A trillion seconds ago would be 29,700 BC. Go ahead. If you don't believe this, look it up. Look it up. A quadrillion seconds ago would be over 30 million years ago. That's how many Earths could fit in Musifi. That would be like if you went to the Golden State Bridge. I know at least a lot of us have seen it. If you set the ball here at the end of the Golden State Bridge and you began walking, that's a long way to walk, folks, all right? You get to the end of it, you're tired, you're exhausted, you look back and you have a little victory party and you're like, only one more to go. Musifi is the diameter of two Golden State bridges, 18,000 feet in diameter. The Earth is just a speck. And one last star that I'm sure you've heard of, Canis Majoris, also known as the Big Dog, just absolutely massive. If the Earth was a golf ball, it would be like placing it at the base of Mount Everest, hiking the whole way up 6 miles above sea level. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths in it. That would be enough golf balls to fill the state of Texas 22 inches deep. Guys, our God is big. Let's take a look at this video. This is a video of our solar system. You can start it. And we'll just go through real quick here of our small universe. So yeah, you know, Earth's looking pretty good as we start off. It's a little bit bigger. And then Neptune comes and ruins it for us. We're no longer the big dog. So yeah, we have Neptune. And then obviously we're starting to shrink. And Saturn. Saturn's awesome. And Jupiter. And then here comes our sun. Absolutely amazing. And we're already so small compared to everything else, but then the sun comes. and just look how massive this thing is. And God breathed that. If you look on the right screen, this little blue dot that's going off the screen, that's Neptune. That's not Earth. All right, then we have Sirius, and that is, if you go there, you will not get any radio connection there. I think some of you will get that. There you go. Then we have Pollux. We have Arcturus, and then we have Rigel next, just a beautiful star, and just massive. And then finally, we get to our second star, Betelgeuse, and it's just outdwarfs everything. The sun is no longer visible. We have Antares next, and yet does not compare to our third star, Musifi, just giant. God is breathing these stars. And his cousin, WCV. And then we have our last one, Canis Majoris. And if you would go ahead and pause it right there, thank you. Did you know if you came up here with a Sharpie, you could not make a dot small enough to represent our sun? And our sun is, again, 1.3 million times bigger than we are. Now, while I studied and did some of this research, I was absolutely blown away of how big our God was. But then I'm also like, man, I am so small. And it wasn't even a bad, but it was a good thing. See, man, sin has a way of shrinking our God down. Sin, somehow, some way, we grow up imagining this huge God that breathes stars, and then somehow, some way throughout our life, we just view God as something so small. Our prayers, man, all God is good for is blessing our food now. Do you realize today that we are worshiping a God that is big? Just a glance today at God's creation, it resizes everything. A God that is great, a God that is majestic, a God that is all-inspiring, breathtaking, glory-filled, full of wonder, magnificent and captivating. So can I please give God an amen here? Amen. Do you get how incredible your God is? We're so small, we're so fragile. According to Psalm 39:5, my entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. We're just a breath. And the craziest miracle today, if you hear anything else, I want you to hear this. If you see in the stars and their mass, if you don't hear anything else, this is what I want you to get. The craziest miracle today that you've seen, even though that these stars are huge and often uncomprehendable, is that we, so small in the universe God created, we have been marked by God. Each one of us here, according to Genesis 1:27, so God created human beings in his own image. We've been marked. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We have been created in the image of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a miracle. I want to take a second and tell you how special you are. That God created you like no one else. That you've been created by God in a way that it's even hard to understand. The process of birth, one cell from your father, one cell from your mother combine to make a new cell. You can explain the rest to your kids. That's as far as I'm going today. The process of birth, it's just a beautiful thing. Did you know that your personal unique DNA from one cell can actually stretch to be about 6 feet tall? Billions of coding inside each DNA? And that if you took all the DNA in your body and you strung them together, that you could take your DNA and stretch it from the earth to the moon and back? Didn't it amaze you? How about 178,000 times? That is how unique and priceless you've been made. Isn't that incredible? That the real miracle here today is, it's yes, the God breathed the stars, but then God made you and he said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's about 75 trillion cells that make up your body. Now 50,000 of them just died and were replaced. 50,000 of them just died and were replaced. Every 3 seconds, 50,000 die and were replaced. You wonder why you're so tired all the time. It's because your body is a miracle and doing miraculous things. And St. Augustine really hit it when he said this: men go abroad to wonder at the heights of the mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the river, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and yet they pass themselves without wonder. The God who created the heavens, who spoke and stars were created, he holds you. He knows your name. He knows how much hair is on your head. He knows you better than yourself, and he wants to hold you. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God." He made that a promise. He said, "I'm going to hold you." He will hold you and carry you through every day of your life. In Psalm 33, we read of the wonderful star-breathing God. That's not Psalms. Again, in verse 6, the Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. In verse 9, we read, "For when he spoke, the world began and it appeared as at his command." God has authority, God has power, and he says, "Begin," and it begins. But then we also get a different view of God. Actually, in verse 13, the Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on earth. Again, he's in this high position. He made their hearts, also known as he formed their hearts in another translation. So he understands everything they do. Another translation, he is intimately acquainted with what they do. It continues in verse 18 and 19. "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love," his promise right here. "He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine." See, there's so many people that are hurting here today. Some of you are bitter. Some of you are confused. Some of you are angry. Some of you are just so done with this world and this life. You're so sick of what you see on the news and so sick of how people treat you. There's so much hurt going on in this world. But God is making a promise to you. He is saying, "I am the universe maker. I breathe stars. I am a heart former. I've created you, but I'm also big enough to be intimately connected with all the issues in your life. I promise you that no matter what comes in life, I'm going to hold you. No matter how difficult the road, no matter how dark the night, I will hold you together and carry through you through any circumstance in life." And you may be wondering, like I'm sure most of, if not all of us have, is how can I know this today? How can I know that God is holding me together? Well, I found out this really cool, unique cell. It's a cell adhesion molecule found in proteins. It's called laminin. If you didn't know what laminin, it's basically summed up as laminin is the human rebar. It's the glue of the body. It's in a protein cell that's found in basically every tissue of your body. It holds you, literally holds you together. And what does that remind you of? Man, the cross. It's the perfect representation of the cross, his grace and his love. It's what holds us together. Now, that holds our body together, and it's a daily reminder of his grace and his love. And the cross holds us to God. His sacrifice, his love for us, his death on a cross, it's what binds us to God. It's what binds us to God. It's the perfect image of Christ's cross. In Colossians 1, we read about Christ. The title of it in my Bible is "Christ is Supreme." Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. So basically, it's just saying here that everything is made for and through Christ. And we read in 17 of chapter 1 of Colossians, he existed before anything else and he holds all creation together. Again, he is the one that holds everything together. His cross through Jesus Christ, we are connected to God. in verse 19, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." So you're at the hardest point of your life right now. How do you know God has you? It's the cross. It's the moment when the star breather became your Savior. See, the cross, it's so fascinating. The cross is proof, is absolutely for sure proof that God does not always change your circumstance. You can look at Jesus Christ, the one that he was pleased to live in. He was begging God, "Take this cup from me, cup of burden from me. God, change this." But the cross is also proof, it is proof that through any circumstance, his purpose prevails. That through whatever, God will have the victory. In Isaiah, it helps us understand some of the questions that I've asked, that you've asked, that we may be asking ourselves today. In Isaiah 40, it talks about the wonder and the expansion of God. He makes the stars and he has no equal. Yet we find the writer of Isaiah kind of writing to the Israelites, because the Israelites, they were going through this such as we are today. Isaiah writes, "How can you say that the Lord does not see your troubles, O Israel? How can you say God ignores your rights?" Man, God, do you see me? God, what is going on? Where is your deliverance like you've promised? See, we have all been there. We've all seen the struggles of life. And just like them, we believe God has breathed the world and has breathed the star. And God, you said it and it was made. Yes, I believe that, God. Yes, God, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe that. But what they really wanted to know at that moment in their life was, God, do you see what I'm going through? God, do you see the pain in my life? God, do you see that I can't go any farther? Do you see how these people are treating me? God, do you see this pain and suffering in this life? Do you even care? Are you going to do something, God? And Isaiah, oh, so clever. He responds with this question. "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding." Guys, he's so big that we can't even understand how big he is. He's so big. He's so powerful. But then it continues and it kind of changes. We go from this all-powerful God and then we see this loving, compassionate God. It says in verse 29 of 40, "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength." Another translation for the word trust is hope, and the Hebrew word for that means, basically, through the middle of the storm, I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to trust in your purpose. That is hope, that no matter what comes, no matter the circumstances, God, I can't go, but I know you've got me. I can't go, but I know you've got me. In verse, it continues, he says that they will soar high on wings like eagles. Did you know that when eagles get up in the high altitudes, those high crosswinds and storms, they lock their wings. They just lock their wings and they run the course that is before them. He says they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And God is telling you today that if you keep trusting, you'll keep going. If you keep trusting, you'll keep going. If you keep trusting, you'll keep going. Even when you let go of me, I will not let go of you. Man, there are millions and millions of microscopic crosses that's literally just holding you together. You have a reminder that holds your body together of the promise of God has made you, that he won't let you die. He won't let you go without his rescue. We have the opportunity to see that this one glorious cross is holding us together with God. We have the gift to live eternity with the star breather. Dan, if you want to come forward. through Jesus Christ, we have that opportunity. God's hand will continue, I promise you, continue to hold you together, not by my word, but by God's word, to hold you in this life. He will hold you together. He will bring you through. That is the promise of the everlasting God. So for some of you in here today, maybe it was a realization that, whoa, our God is big. He is so big. I can't even comprehend how big our God is. And maybe for some of you in here today that have struggled with how you view yourself. Man, I'm nothing. I struggle with negative self-talk all the time. And today this has helped me to realize that, man, 178,000 times, billions of coding, God has designed me as a unique, blessed, marked by God, creature of God. And for some of the others in here, maybe it's how you just view others. Oh, this person, man, he smells. Oh, this person's rude to me. Oh, this person, I can't deal with this person. Maybe it's time for you to begin to realize that they are a miracle of God, that they themselves also, through all their faults, through all your faults, whatever it may be, is a miracle of God. Would you guys pray with me? God, we read out of Psalms that when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of? Oh God, what a humbling experience this was today, God, to be able to see how vast and how giant you are, but yet you are so intimately acquainted with each one of us. You formed our hearts, God. You formed our neighbor's hearts, God. You formed our enemy's hearts. Help us to connect like you have connected with us, to sacrifice, to love, and to give the grace that you have given us so undeservingly. May we leave this place with an expansion of our image of you, God. May the sin that we have in our life not hinder us from seeing the true self, God. Open our eyes, open our hearts to you. In your name I pray. Amen.